Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nation.
Thank you, Sam, and thank you, worship team, and thank you for the testimonies. Good morning, church. I'll give us half a minute to tell our neighbor very quickly a few things, a few ways in which God has been good to you. Go. 30 seconds, rather, half a minute, yes. Glory to God. It's interesting that the people with the longest conversation are father and daughter. I like that. So praise God. He is a good father and he's a very good God. And I thank him for LAT and I thank him that we are truly his sheep. I'll tell you why. I've known I was meant to preach today for a long time, so I started praying about it early. Actually last month. And the first time Joanne preached, she preached exactly what I had planned to preach. As in, you guys, you don't understand. She stood here, I was seated there, and I was like, this chick is preaching my sermon. You know, and you're like, what's wrong with her? Then I was reminded that, well, it's not my sermon, and it's not hers either. We are only vessels. But it confirmed to me that we actually hear from God. So that was the first Sunday. Her second Sunday of preaching, I didn't come. But I was listening to the sermon, and it was the same thing I had planned to preach again. And I was like, okay, yes, now I know that we hear from God. So I thank God for LAT. I thank him for the dreams, for all these other confirmational things, but I thank him that when people stand here to preach, they actually deliver messages which are from him. And I know this is part of our monsoon rains, because how many people, do you know how many churches do you know that are not sure they actually hear from God? For them, they hear from the pastor, or they hear from the man of God or woman of God, but we know that we hear from God. Even while we have a pastor and we have other people serving, we hear from God. It's not something to be taken for granted, and we should never get so used to it that it becomes, you know, commonplace. So we thank God for that. That said, I know when the monsoon rains dream came, many of us went to our books. We ladies like to write these things down. And when such a prophecy or dream comes, we go to our book and revisit it and start saying, okay, God, in 2014 you promised me a job. In 2015 you promised me a husband. In 2016 you promised me a child. Now this is my season. So we want to start collecting and harvesting. And for some of us, this is the time that things start turning upside down. Your home gets broken into. And you ask God, you say, but I was expecting monsoon rains. How come things are being taken away? Well, that's when the doctor tells you, oh, you should stop trying for a baby. You're not going to have a baby. Or, I mean, we live in a fallen world, so bad things happen around us. And because we are expecting rains, we are expecting showers of blessings, you start to feel like, maybe this is not my time. You start to ask God, am I on this bus this time? Or should I sit back and chill and this is pregame for me? So today I want to encourage everyone who is waiting for some sort of rains, be it financial, be it non-financial. I want to encourage us that God does not go back on his word. And I want to share, today I'm going to share how we can wait. Wait for God, wait upon the Lord, wait in this season of the rains. Now it's very easy for us to stand here and be hyped corporately as a church because we've had a dream. But I know that there are some people who are going through some conflict on the inside. When I'd just gotten born again, when people would stand up and say, you know, this is a season of this, it never used to make sense to me. I'd be like, okay, how do you know it's a season of blessings? I mean, it's not physical. And if you think about it, we are blessed every day. So when someone says this is a season, or anointing of marriage is in the church now, I'm like, okay, does that mean everyone is going to get married? Does that mean, you know, those things would go through your mind. So I know that there are some people who may have those thoughts. I don't know any individuals. So if you're those people, I'm not pointing at you. I do not know, no one has spoken to me. But I know that these things sometimes happen. So I want to encourage us that God loves us. He is a good father. We have just been singing. And when we're singing it, I thought of all the ways God has been good to us. During this time, I know we are praying for different things. Maybe you're praying to have a child. I don't know why this keeps coming back. Maybe you're praying to have a child. But if you're praying to have a child, that means you have a husband or a wife. And that is something you should thank God for. You have a partner that you are trying with. You have someone holding your hand. You're going through it together. Thank God for that. Maybe you don't have a husband yet. You actually thank God that you still have a chance to do it right. I keep telling single people that they should be very happy because some people are there and they're like, maybe I should have waited. So for you who is single, you still have a chance to do it right. You still have a chance to do it with God. So thank God that you still have that opportunity. Maybe you are a single parent and for you, you don't have a husband or a wife, but you have children. You also should thank God for that. Even if you're not in any of those people I've mentioned, you woke up today and that is just enough. We woke up, we have life, we are here. When you wake up in the morning and think of all the ways that morning could have gone, there are many things you may not have woken up at all. Thankfully, you wouldn't know. Or you could wake up and you're sick and you have to be rushed to hospital in an ambulance. Or like something that happened to me recently, I woke up and my bedroom door refused to open. And I'm the only adult in my house, so I'm in my bedroom. My children are on the other side. Mommy, I'm hungry. Mommy, I'm hungry. Mommy, we need to go where? And I can't get out. So there are many things that go. Of course, that wasn't disastrous. But when you have a young child saying, Mommy, I'm hungry, and for him it's urgent, you feel the pressure. And then you have to wait like 3 hours for a carpenter. This wasn't disastrous. It was something small. But I'm just telling you, it can go very many different ways. So we thank God for every small, seemingly small blessing because all these things we get by His mercy and by His grace. We have no guarantees that we'll wake up. Yes, we take it for granted. We make plans for tomorrow, but there are people who make plans and don't wake up. So whatever you are praying for, whatever you are waiting for, also look on the good side and stop and thank God. When you're singing that song, "You are so good to me," think about all the ways He has been good to you and thank Him for those ones. Okay? Now, we're going to look at a group of people in the Bible who prayed and waited on God. Their wait was a bit shorter than ours, but they waited nonetheless. We are going to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 1 to 12. It's a long portion, but we're going to read all of it. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 1 to 12. Now, to give you a little background, this is the time of Solomon. Solomon built a temple for the Lord. So just before chapter 7, he had finished with his work. And in my Bible, chapter 6 is titled Solomon's Prayer of Dedication. So he was dedicating the temple to the Lord. And he said a very long, very elaborate prayer. I had wanted to read it, but it would probably take the whole service. So I'll encourage you to go back and read it for yourselves. But he was really praying to God, you know, saying, we want to be these kinds of people, want to treat your presence like this and that. And if we don't do this, you will do this and hear us this way. It was very elaborate the way he prayed. And then this takes us to chapter 7. It says, when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. When all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, "For He is good, for His mercy endures forever." Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 bulls and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. And the priests attended to their services. The Levites also with instruments of the music of the Lord, which King David had made to praise the Lord, saying, "For His mercy endures forever." Whenever David offered praises by their ministry, the priests sounded trumpets opposite them while all Israel stood. Furthermore, that's verse 7. Furthermore, Solomon consecrated the middle of the court that was in front of the house of the Lord. For there he offered burnt offerings and the fat of the peace offerings, because the bronze altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offerings, the grain offerings, and the fat. At that time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days, and all Israel with him, a very great assembly from the entrance of Hamath to the brook of Egypt. And on the 8th day, they held a sacred assembly, for they observed the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days. On the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people away to their tents, joyful and glad of heart for the good that the Lord had done for David, for Solomon, and for his people Israel. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house. And Solomon successfully accomplished all that came into his heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house. Verse 12. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as the house of sacrifice. We'll stop there for now. I'll read more later. So when we go back to this portion, bit by bit, we see how these people were waiting on the Lord. It starts that when Solomon had finished praying. Now, LAT, we have been praying for a very long time. For very many years, we have been praying. We get some promises. We get dreams. We get a word here and there. And we continue to pray. We continue to worship. I believe we have been faithful, or at least we have been as faithful as we know how to. So when these people finished praying, fire came down from heaven. They were blessed with the presence of the Lord. Has LAT been blessed with the presence of the Lord? We give glory to God for that. So we've been blessed with the presence of the Lord. But we still have promises which haven't been fulfilled yet. So we are happy to have the presence, but naturally we are looking forward, eagerly waiting for those things to come to pass. So while we are waiting, verse 4 says, then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. While we are waiting, we are going to keep offering sacrifices. I know it's very easy for someone to hold on to a promise. Now, there are some promises which, like Andrew's, it has a timeline. Many of us, we don't have timelines. And then for the one that stresses women the most is the one for children. You start saying, oh, but my biological clock. It is very hard for someone to have a promise that has seemingly has an expiry date and still be joyful when you're not seeing it come to pass. So you know that you want to have children, and the Lord has told you that you're going to be fruitful in that area, but you make 35, you don't even have a husband. You're clocking 40, you still haven't seen the husband. It's very difficult, understandably so, to remain joyful during that time and actually keep hopeful. You start to think, maybe I should do this another way. Maybe I should, you know, work with biology to do this quickly. So I'd like to encourage us that while we wait, no matter where you are, no matter how little time you think you have, I keep telling people we serve the God of time. He is the author of time. I have heard of people in their 50s who have had children. They do not know. They think, well, that has passed, it has ended, and boom, a child happens. So we cannot limit God in that way and think, but God, you promised me this, and now it is not happening, and I'm growing old. You don't know how much longer you have on this earth. So we serve the God of time. Let us trust him and just keep offering sacrifices while we are waiting. What are our sacrifices? Our sacrifices can just be worship, a sacrifice of praise. Be faithful in that. Now, we see that Solomon offered a personal sacrifice, because verse 4 says that the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. Then verse 5 mentions King Solomon specifically. It says, King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 bulls and 120,000 sheep. I can't even conceptualize that number in my head. Then it says, so the king and all the people. So it mentions him alone. Now, corporately, it's very easy for us to offer a sacrifice of praise, a sacrifice of worship. We come here on Thursday, we worship, it is sweet. We come back here on Sunday, the choir, the worship team does its thing, it's very sweet. But you, as an individual who is waiting on God, do you have a sacrifice of worship? Do you take time off to sacrifice time, sacrifice other pleasures, sacrifice... I don't know what's trending on phones now. It used to be Candy Crush. I don't know what people are playing now. Sacrifice that time that you use for whatever to just offer worship to God. And for people who are lazy to worship, we say, I can worship by fellowshipping with other people. No, I am talking worshiping as in singing and putting your arms up and actually worshiping God. There's that worship where it's your daily life. We should live a life of worship, yes. But I'm also talking about a worship session that is regular in your life, that is consistent in your life. Not just waiting for here to come here on Sunday. Here it is corporate. Yes, we commune with God on a personal level. But what if I don't come for a month? Does that mean I'm never going to worship? So continue offering these sacrifices of worship. Now, there are many other sacrifices you can give unto the Lord. Sacrifice of time, sacrifice of money. Sacrifice of every resource we have, we can actually sacrifice. So during this time, sit down with yourself, find time and actually just worship God. And without necessarily focusing on the promise that you're praying for, just focus on the other things. Because when we focus on the promise, it's very easy to get discouraged. It is very, being a mother, my examples are usually about motherhood. When I promise my child something, he hasn't seen it. He has not yet seen it. I won't tell him when I'm going to give it to him because the pressure I can't deal. So I just tell him, I'll think about it. I tell him you'll have it by your birthday. So he doesn't wake up and say, Mommy, thank you for what you're going to get for me. Thank you. Because for him, it has not yet come. It's not yet real. So if I ask him to thank me, he's going to thank me for the things I've already given him or the things I've already done for him. So even you, if the promise is discouraging, focus on the things that have already happened. I mentioned at the beginning, we have so many things to be thankful for. Asha came here and listed a few things. I didn't even know she got married in LAT because I think we came to LAT at about the same time. But I missed the wedding. So I didn't know she got married in LAT. So there are so many things we have to be thankful for. Offer that sacrifice of worship from the bottom of your heart while you wait and while you trust. Because he does not go back on his word. It will come to pass. Now, when we go to verse 5, after Solomon had offered his very many animals, we saw that the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. While we are waiting, it's also, maybe I'll give a personal example. I'm not waiting for a husband, but suppose I was waiting for a husband. I would have to behave a certain way and carry myself a certain way. I keep telling people, practice for the thing you want. So if I want to be married, I actually have to carry myself as if I were married. So if I can't be faithful to my body now, faithful, I'm talking about male-female relationships. If I can't be faithful to the Lord now, I actually don't believe that I'll be faithful to that husband when he comes. So I have to practice being celibate now for me to be able to be faithful to my husband when he comes. I don't know if I'm making sense to anyone. So now, while we wait, is the time to dedicate the temple. What is the temple? The New Testament temple is our bodies. We offer our bodies as a living sacrifice unto the Lord. Now, this one I'll talk mainly to the people who are waiting for marriage. I live in the same world that you do. Not waiting for marriage necessarily. People who are single, okay. I live in the same world that you do, and I know that our moral standards as a country stink. And I'm being polite. Both, even for the married actually, the moral standards also stink. Now, we are talking in a church setting, so it's very easy to think, we are holy, we are doing the right things. But if you've interacted with people outside the church, and some people inside the church, you know what I'm talking about. We do not value chastity anymore. It's not a thing, and especially since everyone is doing it, and my body has needs, and God knew these things. God is the one who created my body. So we start to make excuses. And I have notice that very many young Christians no longer value their bodies the way we are supposed to. We don't treat our bodies as a temple of the Lord. Now, for the people who do other extremes, they tell you, you're too much of a mulokole. Echikulu waloko kanyo. Because you're saying, no, I am waiting. So during this time, while we are waiting, let's practice dedicating our bodies to the Lord. Now, outside the marriage context, there are things like how we speak. Things like how we relate with others. We can actually abuse the temple of the Lord using these things. I was reading some old notes of mine that I didn't even know I had, and there was something that said, the temple of the Lord cannot be speaking profanity. And I thought about it. When you are with your friends who are outside the church, do you just fall in and speak like them? How are you carrying Christ towards those people? And you may not necessarily just speak the Bible and start and say, the Lord has blessed you, the Lord is going to... No, even in normal everyday conversation, we can actually shine the light in the simple way that we speak, in the simple way that we carry ourselves, in the simple way that we speak to our children. My son recently, I don't know why he got that song. There's like a song, some rhyme of sorts, that ends with the third is a coconut head. So he sings it sometimes when he's with his cousins and says, the first is the last, something like that. And the third is the coconut head. So he kept calling people coconut head. Now, I think I wasn't paying attention. Sometimes I'm just in autopilot until someone complained. And I was like, wait, I've heard this song many times. What does it mean? So I asked him to sing it for me, and he sang it. And he had just called one of his cousins a coconut head. So my first impulse, by the way, was to, you know, like, be mean. Because how do you call someone a coconut head? Especially we in Uganda, my son doesn't know what a coconut looks like. So how can you even abuse someone, something you don't understand? And for him, maybe he was just making fun. So in speaking to him, I actually first paused and I was like, God, help me speak to this child. You know, like in a way that is constructive. So I started speaking to him and I said, you know, we are all made in the image of God. I said, do you know that? He said, yes. So I said, so you see this person you're calling a coconut head, look at him, look at his head. He said, okay. I said, how many ears does he have? He said, two. I said, and you, how many do you have? He said, two. I said, and how many eyes does he have? He said, also two. I said, and you, how many? You know all these things. So if you're calling him a coconut head, what does that make you? If we are all made in the image of God, and you're calling this one who looks like you a coconut head, what does that make you? And what are you saying about God? Then we are made in the image of someone. Are you saying God is a coconut head? Now, when I said the part of God is a coconut head, he freaked out. It's like, I think he was like, oh my God. And I have not heard this again. So I was happy that in that moment, I was able to refer to the Bible. But now there are other times when in the heat of the moment, I also forget the Bible and I just speak to my children. But because it's not in me to be mean, I am not going to attack in a mean way. I will be angry in the moment, but even the things I speak will not be coming from a place of anger, because I have practiced not to be angry, because I know that when I speak, you know, anger to someone, I'm just pouring anger into them and they'll give it back to me eventually. I think, I don't know if parents notice that, but me, I notice that my children give me back what I give them. So during this time, let's be mindful about these temples that we are walking in. Be mindful to dedicate them to the Lord through prayer, through filling them with the word of God. Vanange, I cannot emphasize this enough. I have walked being filled with the word of God, and I have come from a place where the word was little, and then it grew, and then it grew until a point where now when I'm speaking in normal conversation, I find myself referring to the Bible without even thinking about it. Before, I used to, you know, when someone would come and talk to me and tell me something, I'd start thinking, which verse? I need a verse. You know, I don't even hear some of the things they're telling me because I'm trying to remember a verse. But by filling up with the word of God, now it's what comes out naturally. I don't have to remember the verse many times, but I find that my advice, the things I'm saying are coming from the Bible. So please fill yourself with the word of God. If that's the only dedication you're going to give, give it. That should be enough. Skip everything else I said. Just fill yourself with the word of God, and all other these other things will find their way and fall into place. Now, while we are waiting for the monsoon rains, we are also going to keep serving. Verse 6. 2 Chronicles 7 says, and the priests attended to their services. The Levites also with instruments of the music of the Lord, which King David had made to praise the Lord. Now, while we are waiting, many of us may not be in a place of direct ministry. Very many of us. When I say direct ministry, I mean you don't have a platform where you stand and talk to very many people. But everywhere you are is a platform. Every person you talk to, that is an audience. Even one person. The person you live with in your house, be it your child, be it a maid, be it your spouse, that is an audience. I have a friend who's been praying about something for about 7 years. And at one point I told her, I said, you know what? I think you just need to let this thing go. Not to stop praying, but let God do it in his time. Stop like working on pressure. And then she told me and said, you know, I tried that, but my husband thought I had given up. So she told me, my pushing now, I'm not doing it for myself. I'm helping, like I'm doing it for my husband to actually build his faith, to know that, you know what, we are praying about this. And I was like, and I had never seen it that way. So everyone we encounter in our day, even in traffic, that person who cuts you off. Recently someone did something to me in traffic, and I don't know how I held back, by the way, because I felt the boil happening. But I looked at them and I said, okay, I think you're going through something inside me. I said, okay, I think you're going through something, and I'm not going to help you go through, like go deeper in it. So let me be the calm one. And I don't know what my calmness communicated to them. I didn't talk to them. I don't know them. They were passing, but I was glad that I had not, like, you know, yelled back or hooted back or, you know, done something mean. So everybody you encounter, be it in traffic, be it at work, be it at school, your children's teacher, all these are audiences. So while you do not have a platform to stand on and talk to 1,000 people, continue serving, be faithful in the service where the Lord has placed you. Sometimes it will be someone at work. Maybe you have that workmate who always tells you her problems and you do not know why. Maybe you have a place of peace. Every morning she comes, she tells you, banange, me, my home, this and that. And when you listen and encourage her, that is your service unto the Lord. Be faithful in that. Maybe it's the maid in your home. Many of us have negative reports about our maids, but I believe that those people are sent to us to love them. Someone once said they don't know how to be loved, and that's how they react the way they do. But here, maybe we are the one. They have come for us to teach them to accept the love of the Lord. So be faithful in that one. Don't say unanemie after 3 weeks and you say she doesn't know how to turn on the lights. She doesn't know how to. If you don't teach her, who is going to teach her? You're throwing her to someone else to go and treat her badly. You be the one. Be the one to bring Christ to her. Not necessarily by preaching, but just love them and serve in the capacity that you have been placed. Your small one, your big one. Some of you have ministries outside here. Just keep serving. And when I'm waiting on God, for me, service helps me because it takes my mind off the wait. Instead of sitting down and going through that kabuka I mentioned and saying, but God, the things you that have come to pass are fewer than the things that are pending. What is going on? And yet you're even sending more promises. Why don't you first fulfill those ones? And then we start on a clean slate. When I'm busy serving, I don't have the mental energy to put in that. All my mental energy will go into service. And then the things actually come to pass, and sometimes I don't even notice because I'm busy doing this and that, and I'm like, oh, this actually already happened. When I was preparing for this sermon, I went through some old notes, a notebook of mine from 2017, and I saw the things I was praying about then, and I was in shock. At that time, they were big things. They were humongous things. You know, when you pray and you're like, God, I don't even know I don't know how you're going to achieve this one. But since you're God, it is yours. And now I was looking at them and saying, what? I actually prayed about this thing. I'd even forgotten about some of them. So because I didn't dwell on them, they were at the back of my mind, yes, but they were not the focal thing at any of those points. So keep serving. If you feel you're not serving, ask God to show you where you're serving. Because trust me, you're serving somewhere. You just may not be aware of it. So ask God to show you where you're serving and ask for the grace. And then just be faithful and serve as unto the Lord. I saw a nice quote that, you know, caught my eye that said, if you're waiting on the Lord, do what waiters do. Serve. So yeah, be a waiter and actually serve during this time of waiting for your rains to fall in. Also, while we wait, we are going to continue being generous. In verse 8, we see that Solomon kept the feast 7 days. These guys had a 7-day party, you guys. and all Israel with him. So it wasn't a party with just his household or with just his relatives. It was a party with all Israel and a very great assembly from the entrance of Hamath to the brook of Egypt. Now when I read that distance, I don't know what it is like geographically, but it sounded big. From the entrance of Hamath to the brook of Egypt. Can you imagine such a party? And who is housing these guys? It is Solomon. So after praying, while we are waiting for God to answer, we're going to continue being generous. We'll be generous with the little we have. We are going to be generous with our time. We are going to be generous with money. I know many of us don't want to hear that, but I think LAT is okay when it comes to generosity with money. So we are going to continue to practice generosity at every point. While we are being generous, we also have to be, I don't know how, to be mindful, to be conscious of our manner of generosity. I'll give you a quick example. I have a border guy that I give money, well, during festive seasons, Christmas, Easter. He's Muslim, so sometimes during Eid, I also send him money. And then recently, I felt an urge to just send him money randomly, not a special day. And I had the money, but it wasn't on mobile money. So I said, okay, I'm going to send it, you know, later. I was busy. I was doing hospital runs with a friend of mine. Then when the evening came, I still hadn't sent the money. So I quickly put it on my phone. And I was driving a friend of mine around. She was very heavy. So I just put it on the phone for sending later. When I got home, I had many other people to send money to. I sent. And then I had his amount was the balance. But now I couldn't remember who I was supposed to send that money to. I went through my memory as like, I'm supposed to send this money to someone. I could not remember who it was. And the moment passed me. Now, to avoid using the money and wasting it, I paid the water bill. I said, you know what? If it stays on my phone, I'm going to end up sending it to people that I'm not even meant to send it to. I said, let me pay a water bill. At least that one I know that, you know, later I'll still benefit. So the next morning is when I remembered who I was supposed to send the money to. So I call him and tell him, I'm going to send you something during that day because now I had used up the money on the phone. Then later in the day, I go through with it. So he calls me back and says thank you. But the way he said thank you was not the usual thank you. This thank you was like deflated. So I could tell there was something going on. So I asked him, I said, is everything okay? How is the family? And he told me business has been bad. I said, how are the children? He said, they're okay, but they stayed home today. I said, aren't they going to school? He said, no, they had a school trip. So these kids had a school trip. His couldn't go because they hadn't paid. And in that moment when he said that, I actually, you know how you feel something poke at your heart as like, oh my God. So I asked him just to be sure. I said, how much was the trip? And the amount needed for the trip is exactly what I had sent him. Now, if I had sent it the previous day, when I was supposed to send it, it would have actually done what it was supposed to do. But because of my, well, we'll call it stupidity, really. I can find other words. I did not send it. So I sent it late. I'm sure he used it for other things. He bought food and did what. But why I'm sharing this story is when you get the unction to give, give. Do not start justifying it and saying, but Pastor Moses drives a car that is bigger than mine. So even if I give him this 50,000, it can't even fill his tank. And then you start to make excuses. And in the end, you end up not giving. If God has told you to give Pastor Moses 50,000, give him. What he does with it, what goes on after that, that is his problem between him and God. You have done your part. Now, in giving, we have to remember that we are not giving for ourselves. If we can go to 2 Corinthians very quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10 to 13. It says, now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgiving to God. Now, in that story I shared, I could tell that God would have gotten a lot bigger praise if that money had come when it was timely. I don't know if this has ever happened to someone. You wake up and you tell God, today I need 200,000 for ABC. And I don't know where it's going to come from, but I need 200,000. And then as you go about your day, maybe someone calls you and says, oh, I have some money for the children, and they send you 70,000. And someone else calls you and sends you 40,000. And then the money keeps coming, and in the end, when you get a message, you see your balance is 200,000. Do you know how you feel towards God in that moment? It's priceless. You have that thing of, oh my God, you actually came through. Now, let that money come on payday. You have just been paid. Your account is in millions of shillings. And someone sends you 70,000. You might even forget to say thank you. Because, yeah, we'll thank them when we get home. But on a day when you're thirsty and someone sends you money, before you even finish reading the message, you'll call them and say, can you believe I have actually been praying to God? And you will share the testimony because chocha at that point in time. So for me, in delaying, I took away glory from God, because this clearly says we are giving, we are being generous so that God will be praised. Now I repented, and I feel bad, and I hope I don't miss it again. So that's why I'm sharing and emphasizing that when you feel the unction, and you know that it is from God, just do it. Because you don't know what purpose He has for that gift you're giving in that moment. It is not for you to figure out. Just do it when He says you should do it. And in the same breath, while we are waiting, we are going to continue being obedient. I hope we are all being obedient to the word of God. You know the different things that God has called you to. I'm not going to go through the 10 commandments with you. You know all of them. So that is, yes, that is up to you. You just continue being obedient. In verse 9, we see, verse 9 of 2 Chronicles 7, we are back to 2 Chronicles, says, on the eighth day they held a sacred assembly, for they observed the dedication of the altar 7 days. Now, these guys were in the middle of a party, a big, big nationwide party. But they found time in there to observe something they had been doing. So just because you are waiting is not an excuse to skimp on the things you should be doing. Just because you're waiting on that job that God promised you doesn't mean you should not tithe now. We have a testimony of tithe from Praise, and I think you were not working during that time. Were you? She wasn't working, but she was faithful with her tithe. Me, I admire people who are very faithful with tithe when they are not earning money. It's a big sacrifice. So when I see people who do it faithfully, I applaud them. So while you are waiting for that big job of I don't know how many million, you can still tithe on what you're getting now. While you are waiting for that husband, like I said, or that wife, you can still be faithful to them while you wait. Oh, okay, just be faithful to God. Let's call it that. Let's not put a human being there. So while we are waiting, we also still have to be obedient. And what we are waiting for may not necessarily be a reward for our obedience, but God has called us to be obedient. Just do it because you're called to do that. Period. It doesn't have to have something attached to it. And you say, maybe God, if I'm celibate for 2 years, then you're going to send me a... No, it doesn't have... Even if the husband never comes, just do it because the Lord requires it of you. I think this is the one church I've been to where obedience has been preached over and over again. I don't know if Pastor Moses has a word for the week where he doesn't remind us that if we love God, we are going to do the things He has told us to do. I have read that message until I think I can recite it in my sleep. So if we love God like we claim to, we are going to be obedient and do what He has asked us to do. Also, while we are waiting, we are going to actually rejoice and be glad. I love verse 10 of 2 Chronicles 7. It says, on the 23rd day of the 7th month, He sent the people away to their tents. These guys had just finished praying. The presence of the Lord came upon them. There was no answer though, but He sent them away. The Chidula is done now. So He sent them away to their tents, joyful and glad of heart for the good that the Lord had done for David. David, who was even years before them, they are still glad about the good that the Lord had done for David. When we are rejoicing, do we think about the good that the Lord has done for our fathers and for our ancestors before us? Can we just, if God didn't do anything for us going forward, could we just rejoice and be glad based on that? based on the fact that we have families, we have lineages, we are here today, we go to a good church, we have work, maybe whatever. Can we just be glad and rejoice for the things we have now? So these guys were joyful and glad of heart. I love that it says glad of heart. Can you imagine? Not just being glad, but glad of heart. Like from inside your heart. That's where the gladness is coming from. It's not because I'm in church and I say, oh, the Lord has been good to me and we are singing and I have to say it. No. Your heart is actually glad. Can you imagine such a state? So they say they were glad of heart for the good that the Lord had done for David, for Solomon, and for his people Israel. They were the last on the list. It started with David, someone who had gone before them. Then it came to Solomon. They were glad of heart for the things that the Lord had done for Solomon. Can we be glad for someone else? Even if while we are waiting, our monsoon rain has not yet come. We are not even seeing clouds. The sky is so clear. You look and there's no sign of rain. Even Kasana is very bright. But your neighbor there are showers of blessings, morning, evening, and night. Can you look in that direction and be glad? I saw a meme which said that if you find yourself being jealous, put your hand on your heart and say, Lord, I'm a witch. So can you confidently say that you're not a witch and you're going to be glad for someone else? So this again calls us to remember. Just remember the things that God has done for you in the past. Remember the things that God is doing for you now. Also remember the promises, because there are things that are coming to pass, and just be glad about those ones. And I've seen that it's very easy for us to get used to certain blessings and start taking them for granted. Yesterday I woke up to an emergency at my house. It was bigger than my pockets could manage. So I first sat on my bed, you know, when you're like, but okay, these responsibilities are too much for me, but I have to do it because it's happening in real time. So I sat down and I was like, okay, now I can't do this alone. So I need help. So quickly my mind, you know, is working because my children are in a panic. And so I'm like, okay, I need to call so and so. So later, after the situation had been diffused, I was like, okay, so God, if I didn't have this person to call, what was going to happen to me? Like in this moment. So I started going through the options in my head and I started saying, this is a very bad thought, but I said, I think this is how people end up in prostitution. I'm ashamed to even admit the thought. But that is the thought that came to me. I said, Kale, now if I didn't have help, this is how people end up doing things they shouldn't be doing, because you're trying to solve an emergency situation. Now for people who have partners, emergency situations may not be a big deal. I mean, your car will break down and you'll call your husband. You don't know what happens after that. For me as a woman, that's what I would do. But now for us who don't have partners, an emergency is your problem. If the roof goes through and falls down, the roof is on you. As in, you're like, okay, now God, it's me and you. What am I going to do? So for me, emergency situations shake me up in that moment. And then after they've passed, I'm thanking God and saying, oh God, thank you. You sent me help at the right time. And then I'm like, but there are people out there who may not have this or these opportunities. Maybe their friends also can't help them. Maybe they don't have a network like I do. So I start to sympathize with those people. I'm like, now for them in this moment, what happens in their lives? And that's how that thought came to me. And I'm like, that's how people end up doing things they should not be doing. So because I have this blessing, why I brought this up, because I have this network and this backup, I notice that sometimes I take it for granted. So I see something about to happen. Case in point, you know that you have a car that is faulty. And instead of fixing it properly, you keep doing first aid. Because you know that, if anything happens, I'll call my husband. You do just a little first aid. I find that is taking help for granted. You get used to the help and say, Castor so-and-so will sort it out. But we need to get out of that and realize that every blessing is a big blessing. If you have a husband you can call when the car breaks down, still fix that car. Don't stress your husband, because what if it breaks out and rather breaks, it breaks down and your husband's phone is off? that day his battery is off, what will happen? Then you realize what a big deal it is. Another way where I've noticed that I start to take things for granted, when I'm reading the Bible, there are verses that I've known from childhood that no longer wow me. Case in point, John 3:16. What happened actually wows me, but when I'm reading the Bible, you know, you read and make notes. When I reach 3:16, I have no notes to make because I know it. That for God so loved the world that he sent his begotten son. You know, I know it, so I'm like, okay, now what notes am I going to make? That God loved us, but that one I already know. That he sent his son, but that one I already know. I actually have it in many of my notes. You know, that kind of thing. So I become used to it and it stops having a wowing effect on me. Yet when I sit down and think about it, the magnitude of it, of God looking at us and loving us first meanwhile, we didn't do anything to deserve this love. Think about even Adam. God put him in the garden, gave him everything he could have needed. But even when he messed up, God is the one who made the first move to come and save us. So when I think about it in that way, I'm like, nah, hey, you know, John 3:16 is actually, it is the heart of everything. So I should not just pass it. Even if I've read it 5 times in a year, every time I read it, I should stop and actually consider it and meditate on it. So while we are waiting and while we are being glad, we will remember not to take these things for granted. Count every blessing, every single blessing, be it a person, be it a job. Many of us grumble about our jobs, but on a Monday morning, I have to go back to that office. It is a blessing. Count every blessing, even the one that rubs you the wrong way. As long as you believe it is a blessing, count it. Be glad, rejoice, be glad of heart. Don't just be glad of heart. Now, this is a very big one for waiters. While we are waiting, we are going to stop comparing. We are going to stop comparison. Comparison is a thief of joy, you guys. And there are many ways we compare. Number one, at least I'm not as bad as they are. This, I find that it comes naturally when we are testifying. We say, you know, I thank God that I have a car. Because there are some people at my office, for them, they don't have cars. When it rains, they come late or they suffer. It's not direct comparison because you're not happy that they are suffering, but it actually is comparison. When we are counting our blessings, why do we have to base our blessing on our neighbor's blessing or lack of that blessing? They also have their blessings that they are thanking God for. And assume you're in an audi, you're part of a congregation and someone is giving a testimony. And then you speak like that. How are they supposed to feel when they don't have a car? And they've been praying for a car and saving for one for 5 years. And you say, me, it's okay to actually to testify and say, I thank God. But then don't bring other people into your testimony. And say, me, I have a car. You don't. Because that's what you're saying, basically. Another way that we compare is we want to be like other people. And that's usually the biggest way. We, you know, want to be like the Joneses. You say, but God, I have been serving you for 5 years. This person just got born again, but you see how their life has turned around. For me, what haven't I done? When I think of this way of comparison, and it's something that would come naturally to us, I think of Rahab. I imagine that people in her time did not understand. Some of them had been observing the law. They have been faithful in every way. But then, when these people who are going, really, God used a prostitute. I'm sure they sat down and said, but God, we were here. We have houses. Even as our houses have rooms where we could have hidden these people. But you used a prostitute, a woman of the street, a woman of, can you imagine, like, if you are having that conversation with God, many times we sit even with our friends and you say, but that girl, when we're on campus, she used to go out with married men. She stressed so many married women, but you see, she has found a good husband. Yet for me, who has never even gone on a tea date with a married man, I don't even have a husband. It's very easy, and that is comparison, but we do it a lot. Then the recent one I had where I tried to show the person how it was comparison and they refused. They were saying, you know, that girl, when she was on campus, we don't know how many pregnancies she, well, took care of, to be politically correct. But when she got married, within the first month of her marriage, she was already pregnant. They're like, for us, at least let's even just have a child. And I told them, but you're comparing yourself to someone else. That is wrong. If you're praying just focus on you and God. And comparison steals joy because you stop focusing on the on God, you stop focusing on the promise, and then you go away and start focusing on the other person's blessings. And you don't know, maybe that's the time that God is ready to bless you, but instead of being ready to receive, you're busy now counting the other person's blessings and saying they used to do this, now they are like this. They used to be a prostitute, now they have a good husband. What is their prostitution to you? You don't know what God is doing in their life. I mean, when Esther was going about going to the palace and all this, she didn't know what was coming, but she was just being faithful in her work. So you also be in your work. If she had said her, but there are other girls, they're also beautiful, maybe they're even more beautiful than me, why is God calling me? Now when those girls are there, you know, these are the things that we go through, by the way, in our heads. And we start saying, but God, you can't use me. Oh God, you've delayed me. I have been faithful for many years. This person who just got born again yesterday, I see you've already given them this, you've already given them this. You start grumbling now about the other person's blessing. The other person is enjoying their blessing. FYI. So focus on yours, stop comparing. When we compare, first of all, it gives root for jealousy. But also, we are saying that God, what you're doing is not good enough. God, you can do better in my life. So now for you, have you become God that you're telling God what to do? You're telling God that, but God, the other person who just got born again cannot get married before me, who has been born again for 5 years. So now you're telling God what to do. It expresses dissatisfaction with what God is doing. And yet if we are created in the image of God, and the God we are created in the image of is a God of love. So if we love other people, we cannot be envious of them. We cannot be jealous. We cannot boast over them because we have things they do not have. So if we walk in love, we are going to turn that comparison, we are going to turn that jealousy into prayer. Take it to God. It is a fallen world feeling and emotion. So here where we live, it is normal. But no, in our kingdom life, it is not normal to be jealous of others. Take it to God. And don't be ashamed to tell God that you're envious, because he already sees it. He sees the heart. So it's okay to still go and confirm it with your mouth and say, God, when you gave that person a car, I felt bad because I have also been waiting. But I know that you know what you are doing. I know that you know that while I'm here feeding the camels, giving them water, I am actually, there's a husband waiting for me on the other side of this water run. So, me while I'm waiting for a car, I don't know why I'm waiting, but I will wait because you know why you are making me wait. Take it to God, turn it into prayer, and let's stop the comparisons. It is a terrible, terrible, terrible thief of joy. And if you have to call yourself a witch, do it. Maybe it will help you stop every time you say, God, I am a witch. Actually, I visualize it now. Every time I find myself in that moment, I visualize it and I'm like, hey, God, am I being a witch? And then I'm quick to get out of it. Then also while we are waiting, we are going to continue focusing on our relationship with God. We're going to continue being eager to hear his voice. We are going to continue to desire to hear from him. We see in verse 11 that Solomon had finished the house of the Lord. He had also finished building his own house and successfully accomplished all that came into his heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house. So he had been successful, and he could have said, you know what? Me, I've finished my work for the Lord. Yeah, I can now retire. But the very next verse says, then the Lord appeared to Solomon. So he was still open to hearing from God, maybe open to more instruction. Maybe while you're waiting and you're focusing on this one thing, God has another assignment for you. But when you focus on the thing you are waiting for and say, God, this is the one I want and I want it now, you'll miss out on the other assignments, which also bless you, by the way. So we are going to continue focusing on our relationship with God. We'll continue. I don't know what your relationship with God is like. For me, it's, feeding more and more on him. So continue doing what you're doing. Continue the service, continue the generosity, continue all these things. And then we are also not going to walk in fear, because God has not given us a spirit of fear. We face many fears in this world. There's fear of failure. We fear society, many of us. Hand up first. We have fear of family, but God has not called us to walk in these things of fear. Now, why I bring up fear is, in this You know, we talk about this season of the monsoon rains because we are in LAT and everyone understands it. When I step out of LAT, I have to explain to people that, you know, someone in my church had a dream where this and this was happening, and you actually see them mentally rolling their eyes. And then you start telling fewer and fewer people because you're fearing they're going to judge you. You fear the things they are going to say. You fear that maybe if the thing doesn't come to pass, what you're believing for, they are going to laugh at you. But that is between them and God. For if God has promised you and you actually believe his word that it is going to pass, start being glad, start rejoicing, start talking about it, start thanking him. And this is not only in your bedroom. You can actually say, Banange, I had a dream where God told me that in this and this year I am going to be prosperous. Can you believe it? Talk about it. Let them look at you like you're a mad person. It is okay to be mad in the Lord. I'd rather be mad in the Lord than mad elsewhere. So we shall not walk in fear while we wait. Let's be proud of our wait. Let's be proud of our season as a church and as individuals. Let's be proud of what God is doing in our lives. Own it, wear it, speak about it, as in let it be. When my son gets a medal at school, man, I take pictures, I put it on my status. It's my profile picture. I put it on Facebook because it's something that I'm proud of. So I want that kind of pride with the things that the Lord is doing in my life as well. If I know that he has promised me this, it may not have come yet, but it is okay. He doesn't go back on his word. It is coming, and I will wear it like a crown while I'm waiting. So that when it comes, it will be like, huh? Now that chicken, I think she knew it was coming because for her, she has just been walking in it. So after we have done all these things, after the Israelites had done all these things in their waiting, in verse 12 is when the Lord appeared to Solomon and said to him, I have heard your prayer. So this whole time, Solomon didn't even know if his prayer had been heard, you guys. But he was still being faithful. He continued. So God says, I have heard your prayer and chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. Then if we quickly go ahead to verse 15, it says, now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. So after we have done these things, after we have been obedient, after we have waited with rejoicing and with gladness, after we have served, after we have been praising and worshiping and dedicating our bodies and minds and souls to the Lord and to his work, after we have focused on our, you know, after we have really given ourselves to God, he says, now I am here, now I will be in this place. It is not because of what you did, but while you waited, you could have wasted the wait and sat down and grumbled and whined. You would still have to wait. If God has said something is going to come in 10 years, guess what? Grumbling is not going to make it come in 7. You will still have to wait. So would you rather rejoice while you wait or just be sad and grumble and still wait? For me, I choose to be glad. I choose to obey. I choose to walk like it's already here while I'm waiting. Now, these things, we wait, and the world we are waiting in offers discouragement. It offers loss and pain and unfulfilled desires, and all these things will come and hit us here and there. But we have to stand on the promise that that God has given us, because God will use these things, the negative things. These are the things he will use to grow us. These are the things he will use to strengthen us. These are the things he will use to actually fulfill his promise. If Joseph had not been thrown in a ditch, I'm sure he would have still made it where God wanted him. But God uses that story, even with its negativity, God uses it to take him to where he wants him to go. So we know the presence of God is here in this temple, in LAT, but also in us. We know the presence of God is here. So standing on that, be faithful in the wait and enjoy the wait. It can be fun. It can be with gladness of heart. God bless you.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.